Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're diving into Loki Season 2, all over the timeline, jumping, slipping, sliding, never ending. I guess a quick recap from Season 1 is that Loki was messing with the time stream, he got caught by the TVA, he met a bunch of other versions of himself from other timelines. Including one named Sylvie, who they worked together. They found Kang was essentially in control of time at the end of time. And I can't, like, 100% remember how the first season ended. And they didn't... It was my biggest gripe for this season's, like, recap of last season, is they didn't really remind us how it ended.
Yeah. There should have been, like, it's like they needed, like, one more scene. Because I know they fought. Like, they, you know, Kang was, or he, you know, he who remains, like, you know, just antagonizing them to fight. And then they eventually start fighting. And was it that there was a doorway and Sylvie, like, pushed Loki through that doorway? Mm-hmm. And then he just couldn't get back?
Yeah. Yeah, but they had like already... used the time stick to erase Kang.
She pushed him through the door so that Loki would stop trying to stop her because she wanted to kill He Who Remains. Mm-hmm. And so with Loki out of the way, she did, but he's just like, good luck, now there's a whole bunch more of me coming. And Loki is really scared and tripped out by the whole experience.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, and that brings us to present day, I guess, for season two.
Question mark?
Yeah, I put a big question mark on that because, wow.
Yeah, and yeah. We do get to see the TVA, like, through the years, and we learn some pretty interesting things as Loki is time slipping. I will say it was pretty funny because the first time he time slips and... he's looking around and, like, all of the murals and all of the things are, like, replaced by Kang. My first thought was, oh, he's in the past. What if Kang set up the TVA? And then he, like, time slipped a couple more times and it became a little more muddy. And I was like, maybe I was wrong. Well,
to that point, like, I'm getting a little suspicious with some of the information that we get in this episode, especially regarding Miss Minutes. I'm wondering if Miss Minutes is going to have basically be Kang or have a connection to Kang. I don't know why. Like, I just, there's something weird going on there, I think, just on how they, we'll get into it, but there's a connection with another new character that we get, and it's just like, I see, like, a hole there where Kang could fit in, but yeah.
Yeah,
but that goes to your. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, there's a recording of Kang in this episode where he's having a conversation with Miss Minutes. And so, to me, that sounds like at some point Miss Minutes was a person who worked with Kang. And so, she has, because in the first season, we didn't exactly know what she was, because Loki's like, are you alive? What are you? And she's like, I don't really know. And she's just like, I'm a clock and I can do stuff and I have intelligence, but what kind? Who knows? And so, yeah, this, I think we always knew that Kang was in charge of the TVA or had started the TVA, but I always thought that it was in kind of like a shadowy way where they didn't know that that was her true origin. But what we found out in this episode is that he used to be, like, openly leading the TVA. And then has been erasing people's memories since then and set up the system with the space lizards. So, you know, under new management, sort of. And also, whenever Loki did the jump at the end of last season, I had assumed he'd gone into a different timeline, like a whole different reality where, you know, Kang was running the TVA and things are all different. But here we found out it was just this timeline's past. And so as Loki is being, you know, yanked through time throughout this episode, he's staying in the same timeline, but he's going back to the TVA when Kang was in charge, to the present, and also to the future. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we learned a lot. It was... Loki's not the only one who's tripped out by this. This is this was hard to follow. Yeah.
It was it was a lot of fun though to kind of like see how time works in the TVA. Like I almost expected it to be whenever he time slips, he would end up somewhere else. But instead it was like he was in the exact spot that he slipped from. He was just there at a different time in the timeline, which is interesting because I feel like, you know, this is where things get even more confusing because we have the multiverse, which is just different universes. Then we have the timeline, which branches so that you have different universes, but they're all branched off the original timeline. And then you have like regular time travel, which is you just move back and forth through linear time. So it's like, wow, what is going on? Especially with when he goes to the future, I was almost confused because there are so many branching timelines. I wonder if the future he went to was the prime timeline's future, or was it a future on one of the branched timelines? But then when he goes back, it's sort of like, oh, well, it kind of seems like it was the main timeline because the shutters are closed and the thing is all twisted. The timeline threads are all twisted, and but nobody's there. Like, nobody's in the TVA. So, I don't know. It's very confusing.
It's getting wild. I want to do a quick side note, just because it's referenced off of something you said. And this is really more in the spirit of October and spooky season. But if you have Amazon Prime, there's a new movie that just dropped this weekend. It's called Totally Killer. And you can think of it as like a mix of like Back to the Future with like Happy Death Day. But there's a moment where they actually explain how you would travel through time but stay in the same place. They like they actually have an explanation of like how they would make that work. So I'm not going to spoil it, but it's I think it's kind of... I've never really seen that in regards with like time travel movies of like, oh yeah, well we use this because this way it'll keep you in the same place no matter where you
go. Yeah, because like that's like, okay. The big debate on time travel in the real world is that if you were to time travel, and your body would just reappear wherever you time traveled from, which would mean the Earth could be, you know, miles and miles away because it moves.
Right.
But in this, I had that same thought, which was, does the TVA move? Is it like floating around, or is it in just, we don't really know where it is, right? It's just at the end of time or pocket dimension or something.
Also, like the, and like, I love the kind of the intro moments where we get to kind of see like behind the shoulders of like how massive this place is, right? Like, it gives me that Star Wars kind of Fifth Element vibe. And now I just want to go explore this place because it just seems massive. There's so many people there and so many buildings. And I think that could be interesting, but anyway, we probably won't get that. But yeah, that's a good point. Like,
I also was, while we were watching it last night, Mason and I, at one point I said, this is some Fifth Element crap. Because it seemed like such a clear homage.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely took some inspiration here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I love it.
Oh, I don't. I hate the Fifth Element. I'm sorry. I don't like that movie. And it's okay. It's okay for me to not like the Fifth Element. Not everybody has to like it.
I did. I just got the steelbook for it.
He is committed to the Fifth Element.
I did want to point something out that was interesting, and I can't take credit for this because I didn't notice it, but upon looking up some things that happened in the episode that I might have missed, a big one was there's a connection to Moon Knight in this episode.
Yes, I missed that one too.
Where when Loki is blipping around, he eventually, I think it's like the second time he slides, he's in a room. He basically is like running away, right, from everybody, and jumps on a car and it crashes into this room, and then he time slips and he's in that room again, except it's clearly in the past or the future. We're not 100% sure because nobody knows who he is. That's why they're chasing him. And then nobody knows who he is when he's in this room. But he sees Casey, one of the TVA workers, and he is listening to what sounds like some sort of podcast. And what you hear is solving puzzles is a great way to keep your mind. Uh-huh. And that is what Moon Knight, or, well, Stephen Grant is listening to help him sleep in Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. So we get some sort of strange crossover that there's this interdimensional podcast, I guess, that you can listen to help you go to sleep.
Wild. The podcast name is called Staying Awake.
So
I really wish we could get a cameo from sweet angel baby Stephen on this. That would be great.
I'm wondering if we're going to get any cameos in this. Just with the nature of Loki in it being set so like strangely in the timeline, it would make sense that we would see other Avengers, other characters from other shows or movies.
There's this the little subtle nod to X-Men.
Yep.
With the door at the end, which was like that little detail is pretty clever.
I'm wondering if maybe we will get a mutant potentially, or maybe even a more direct nod, like if he goes somewhere and they're like, yeah, there's a school for kids with powers over there or something. Like, this is the perfect place for them to do that stuff, whether it's to introduce it or to hint at its coming in the future or something. Just with him jumping around all over the place, they can kind of show us something but not have to explain it yet. So I'm hoping, but maybe not. Something we were talking about before we started recording was Ki-Hyun Kwan's role, and as Ouroboros, I don't even know what his job is. He just sort of fixes things. At one point, like a computer chip comes down to him with a note tied to it, and he takes a hammer and like a nail and smashes it and then puts it back in and launches it back up, and then he like stabs the ticket on a little ticket thing. Like he's like, yeah, I did that. And I was like, what did he just do? He just broke it and sent it back. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
But his role in this was giving me like major Everything Everywhere All at Once vibes. And my hope was that like, oh my gosh, what if this is like some crazy crossover and that movie is somehow tied to the Marvel Universe? Yeah, I mean, weird, but I would be all about it.
Yeah. That would be wild.
I was hoping that when we were in that room, we would maybe see some more like visual Easter eggs, just with the amount of stuff that was scattered through that room. But there, I didn't really see anything that like stood out.
Yeah. Most, I think. Yeah, I didn't see anything either. I haven't seen any notes related to stuff, but yeah, it would have been cool to see something.
Well, even like we got that in season one, right? We got all the, there was just like a drawer full of Infinity Stones.
Right. Mm-hmm. We had that, yeah.
I have not missed being on Twitter until I watched this episode. Because that used to be my little, you know, what I did after I finished watching a new Marvel episode. I would go and see what people were saying about it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not on Twitter. And so, like, there's a void there. I'm not seeing what other people are noticing and, you know, what stood out to them. I feel like I'm just kind of sitting in a room by myself thinking about it until I get to talk to y'all.
Switch, move over to Threads. Same experience.
Well, I guess maybe.
I want to talk a little bit about them pulling Loki back. So essentially the whole episode is they find out Loki's time slipping. There's a really comical situation where Loki is in the past talking to Ouroboros and Mobius is in the future talking to Ouroboros. And Ouroboros is like remembering things in the future from the conversation he's like currently having in the past with Loki. And I was like, this is really funny. But they essentially learn that Loki's time slipping and the only way to get him out of time slipping is to launch a cable into the time stream and rip Loki out of it, and it could potentially rip all of Mobius's skin off, which they make a point to say multiple times. Even in the case multiple that times. Loki doesn't make it back, it will rip Mobius's skin off. So and then they
Mobius rides skin question mark on the side of that computer. Yeah.
And that's kind of like the plot of the episode is them trying to get this device and Mobius put it in the right spot and pull Loki out of timeline so that he won't slip anymore, potentially.
But it's just like I think what made these moments so fantastic is like, it's just like OB through all of this stuff, like he keeps that same level of energy.
Yeah,
never really seems to get stressed because it's just like the deeper we get to the end of this episode, it's just like the complications keep rising.
Right.
I think my favorite moment is like he's when Mobius is like he's all suited up and he just kind of looks up and he's like, "Is that a crack?" And then he just like puts some tape on it. And he's like, "No,
yeah.
That's fine."
Yeah. And it's confusing because like
just unbothered.
Is when he goes out, is he in space? We don't really know like where time. Like they have to take physical time and turn it into the timeline is what they're doing with this like giant machine that apparently Miss Minutes runs.
That we're betting that Kang
exactly,
built.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that we will never get any explanation of an inkling of how it works, which fine. I'm sure it's a bunch of it's comic book nonsense, but I want to know, like, when Mobius goes out onto the deck, it looks like he is having to, like, forcefully push his way through, like, waves of time that are hitting him, right? But then, when he's coming back from the machine, it looks like he is also pushing his way through waves of time. And I was like, well, this doesn't make sense. Wouldn't it be easier for him to get back? Since he had to push so hard to get to the machine, you would think that now all that stuff is pushing him from behind, propelling him quicker.
I mean,
maybe it's like water.
Yeah.
So it's like friction.
Equally challenging to go to the future as it is to go to the past. Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. If you view it as like time is pressing against both sides, that when he's in the present, he's fine. Like he can stand there and be okay. But anyway, he moves through time, it's going to be.
Yeah, I could see that. I was a little concerned also with they made a point to say while you're out there, like your suit is going to slowly age. And I feel like the only thing we got was like a little rust on the helmet. And then when he came back, like maybe since he was coming back, he was going the other way through time. So it like de-aged. But when they like basically come back into the like airlock chamber, there's no aging on the suit. And I kept thinking, like, why wouldn't they have aged it more? Like, even the duct tape doesn't age. And it's like, wouldn't you make it so, like, the duct tape starts to get, like, frayed around the edges or something to show that it's getting older?
Mm. Yeah.
They made such a big point of that being an issue while he's out there. And then I feel like it wasn't really that big of an issue.
But it also changed from, like, an hour-long process to 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, if they had actually the
not
full
even
hour,
5 minutes, it was like 30 seconds. Is so, what he tells him?
Right. Yeah.
But happy ending for the episode. They yank Loki back from time.
But it was weird because somebody had to melt stick Loki for him to get sucked back into the regular time stream. And we don't know who it was because whoever it was got him from behind while Loki was distracted because Sylvie is like clawing her way out of an elevator and be like, I finally found you. And Loki is so stunned to see her. Like his eyes get all watery, like he's about to cry. And then somebody melts him. And we don't know who. Possibly another Loki. Possibly Sylvie or Mobius in a different timeline. Yeah. Possibly a bad person. We do not know. But somebody melt-sticked him.
My thought is that it's him. Like, it's him from the future. Because he knew that he had to be melt-sticked to be able to even get pulled back out of time to be normal. So I think what happens is he goes back in time. He's good. He and Mobius are working things out. They're trying to find Sylvie. He gets to Sylvie and he sees himself standing in front of Sylvie and is like, oh, I gotta melt stick you so that you can get pulled out of time. And it becomes some weird like looping thing where he knows he has to get himself, he has to kill himself so that he can exist where he currently is. That just seems like the angle of the show now is time means nothing and there are no weird paradoxes from like Back to the Future where like you can't see yourself or it'll mess stuff up and it's like, nah, that's not a real thing. It's fine. You can see yourself.
We don't care. We'll do whatever we want to.
You can kill yourself. It's totally cool.
Do we know who was on the phone that was ringing in that moment?
I don't think so because he never answered it.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It was just ringing and then Sylvie started to pry open the doors.
I mean, that was like some Matrix moments, right?
So that again, that could be something like, you know, Loki's looking for himself. He knows he has to melt stick himself. And he gets Mobius to call that elevator. And that's why he walks over to the elevator. And then he melt sticks him from behind. And then we eventually, once we get to that part in the series, we'll have the reuniting of Sylvie and Loki. Yeah. But then, speaking of Sylvie... We get a post-credit scene, which, Marvel, please, if you're listening to me, please, please, put post-credit scenes on all of these episodes. I don't want just one, yes, and then it's like you set the precedent that you're going to do it, and then you never do it again.
Yeah. As soon as the episode ended, like I like paused it, because I had to step away for a second, but I saw it was like 7 minutes and 30 seconds left, and I was like, oh, there's got to be a post. Like, that's a long time for credits for this episode.
Yeah, so we get Sylvie walking out of one of the little teleporty time doors, and she's going to 1982 on a branched timeline to Broxton, Oklahoma, which in the comics, that is where Thor sets up New Asgard. So I'm wondering if we'll get some sort of New Asgard tie-in, or if the nod to that was just the fact that this is where she is, Braxton, Oklahoma. So we'll see where that goes. But then she goes into a McDonald's and is just sort of looking around and seeing how happy everyone is and basically tells the guy she wants one of everything. So I think what she... Like, her goal was to just live peacefully, right? Now that she has killed Kang. Yeah.
It's her Thanos moment.
So now she's just going to, like, chill in 1982 Oklahoma. Potentially.
Or apparently they're doing a test run for chicken nuggets. I didn't know that. The McNugget officially debuted in 83, but they had select locations where they tested the product, and that was one of them.
You know, historically accurate.
I also love that she is like, I don't want squirrel, I don't want possum, I don't want anything with a face. And I'm like, first of all, offensive to Southern people. We don't eat those anymore. Yeah. And... Yeah, and whenever she said that she wants to try everything, the kid is so sincere behind her. He's like turning around about to make her like a Big Mac, a quarter pounder, and all the nuggets and everything. But yeah, I really liked this moment for her because she's finally getting to think about what she can do to just make herself happy without having to be driven by like this desire for revenge. It's also an Inigo Montoya moment where he's like, I don't know what to do with myself now. I guess be a pirate.
So,
this is where we're probably going to find Sylvie next week, where she's working at McDonald's, living life in Oklahoma.
But then we get Giancarlo Esposito show up, and now we've got like this weird Breaking Bad. He would have been great to just show up there, though. He just, you know, just reprising that role ish would have been hilarious.
I think overall. But, go ahead.
No, I just hope like next episode it starts off with Sylvie and maybe she's just walking around, but she's like holding like a McDonald's bag just eating some nuggets.
I think overall this was like a great first episode. I think it really like set the scene for what's going on. It gave us a couple questions to ask that seem like questions that they'll actually answer this time instead of the norm of here's 30 questions and we're only going to answer 3 of them. This sort of set up like 5 questions and I assume we'll get the answer to 3 of them, which, you know, 3 out of 5 is not bad. But yeah, I'm super excited Loki's back. I'm looking forward to next week's episode to jump around the timeline some more and who knows what we're going to see.
Did either of you look through the end credits for clues?
I did. The only thing that I saw people talking about was the Zartan protocol, and people are tying that to a G.I. Joe character. I don't think that is what it is. That would be a wild thing for them to try to do a G.I. Joe crossover in a Marvel movie.
That would get weird.
Man, I want to say, I don't know if y'all seen the movie, because, man, we could get into some crazy spoilers, but it could happen. It could happen. But Zartan, he is the master of disguise, so that kind of brings up, and also when you see this, you also see this is when they're showing Kihan's, like, name. So I could see them trying to make some weird connection there to where, like, is OB who he says he is, or is it Kang in disguise?
That could
that bum me out.
Yeah, me too. I could see that 100%.
Did you guys look up and y'all might not have had to look it up because Mason already knew, but he looked it up to double check what Ouroboros is?
It's the I knew this. I know Mobius is the rectangle that you attach the ends, and it basically is like a 2D representation of infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Or Boris is.
Oh, it's the never-ending circle of life, or the infinite loop of time.
It's like the snake biting its tail.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, just that description alone gives me Kang vibes. Like,
I really hope not. He's a cool character. He's fun.
He is.
It's weird to call a grown man adorable, but he's adorable.
Agreed. Don't ruin this for us, Marvel. Well, do we have a Loki-themed question for this week? Space and time themed? I mean, we could do something like, if you could go back in time, what time period would you go back to?
That's a good one, because there's so many complications.
Okay. That'll be our question this week, then. So think about that. Listeners, let us know on social media what your answers are. And you'll hear us.
One of us needs to put this on a poster.
I'm writing it down right now. So we'll answer the question from last time, which is, Elise, I'll have you say it again.
So the question was. I'm
confused now.
Are we stitching this into the other episode?
No, this will be for this one.
Okay. So our question from last time, the one that we just talked about while we were paused, was if you could choose a fictional character outside of Marvel that you thought could be good enough to wield Mjolnir, who would it be?
Yes. I think my fictional character would be, oh, I forgot his name. Oh, Jack Sparrow.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting choice.
Because I think that he's like, he has that weird thing, right? Where he's not bad. You know, he's a pirate, but he's not like trying to like kill people or steal from people. He's just trying to like do his own thing. And so in the end, he's sort of like a anti-hero. But he's so not evil. You know, I think he's chaotic good. So I think that he'd be able to wield it. And I don't think that he would wield it well. I'm sure there would be some, you know, some mistakes and accidents. But
no, I just picture him doing his little run and Mjolnir's chase.
I mean, I guess I can see it because canonically he did lose his job with the East India Trading Company for freeing an entire ship of enslaved people.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, I guess I'm a pirate now because I'm on the run from the East India Trading Company.
So that's my choice.
Good fun. What about you, Luke?
I'm going Mr. Miyagi.
Oh. How does he train Daniel with Mjolnir?
Huh?
Daniel right. Definitely
well,
couldn't.
I mean, no. But it's just like, you know, Mr. Miyagi, I just think that would be such a great fit because just, you know, his mentality around like karate is like it's not for violence. Karate is not the answer to anything. Karate is a defensive mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's really like if you cannot resolve this by sitting down and having a conversation and talking through your issues and figuring it out, and this other person just really just wants to beat you up, then karate comes into play. And I just see that as like that embodiment of like, you know, he's just built his whole life and structure around that. Like he doesn't want to fight. But if he has to, he will. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you just think of like, you know, just people getting in bad situations. That's when this you'll pull a mule in there and just be like, stop it. Like, it's about to go down.
That's good. That's a good one.
I do like that.
All right, Elisa.
My broad answer is all dogs, but very specifically, right now I'm almost done. I'm within a few pages of finishing the book, Lessons in Chemistry, which is about to be a mini series. It's going to be on Apple TV. And the dog in that is named 630 because they got him at 6:30 in the afternoon. And out of all dogs, 630 might be the goodest boy because he is very, very protective of his family. He's got a frankly absurd level of emotional intelligence for a dog. Part of the book is even told from his perspective. Like it's one of those omniscient narrators that spends a little bit of time with all these different characters. And one of them that it returns to frequently is 630, the dog. And so I don't know how he could wield Mjolnir, whether it was like a, you know, carrying it in his mouth like a stick or wielding it with his puppy paws, but he could do it because he is a pure soul.
That's good. That's a good answer. As soon as you said dog, my first thought was Clifford.
Oh. I mean, he's giant, so he would be he would be dangerous with Mjolnir, but he would use it for good.
Oh my goodness. All right. Just picture that. You got Clifford the big red dog holding Mjolnir, and then like the Hulk is like riding him or something like.
If they put that into a Marvel comic, we do expect to get reimbursed for this idea.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Forget G.I. Joe. Give us Clifford of the Marvel Universe. Well, thank you all for listening this week. Join us next week for episode 2 of Loki and find out what time period we all want to live in. So, see you guys next week.
Bye.